And I would invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis. We are going to be in the 40th chapter of the book of Genesis today. Well, actually 40 and 41. That's what I like about teaching through narratives. They give a lot of detail and you can cover a lot of ground, but there's a lot here. Paul Maneri is the head baseball coach for the Louisiana State University Tigers. He's been in that position since 2007. Before that, he was at Notre Dame University, and before that, he was at the Air Force. And the reason that's important today is because I was at an event once years ago where I heard Paul Maneri speak. I was actually doing what a lot of parents do. I was chaperoning an eighth grade trip to the University of Notre Dame. And part of that visit was to meet with Coach Maneri, and he addressed the kids. And he told a story. When he was with the Air Force, he recruited a player named Bobby, and Bobby was one of the best pitchers he had seen in a long time. In fact, Bobby had been recruited by a lot of NCAA Division I schools. Bobby had been scouted and offered pro contracts. But Bobby decided that what he wanted to do more than baseball was to serve his country. And so he chose the Air Force Academy. His goal was to become a fighter pilot. Bobby graduated and upon graduation had qualified for pilot school. But there was about 6 months between when that would start and graduation. And so he went ahead and helped Coach Maneri with the baseball team. One day he was throwing batting practice and a player connected and hit a line drive. It came right back up the middle, hit Bobby in the forehead, knocked him out. And it also knocked him out of flight school because any head injury disqualifies you. Well, his dreams were dashed. And Coach Maneri was looking for all kinds of ways to encourage him. And a few weeks later, the legendary manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Tommy Lasorda, came to visit the Air Force Academy and was around. And so the coach asked if Bobby would want to be Tommy Lasorda's personal chauffeur for the time that he was there. Got to drive him all around town and to events, got to sit in on events. And one night, they got in the car after a speech that Lasorda had given. And as they're driving away, Bobby turned back to the coach and he said, "I decided tonight that I am still going to go after it and I am going to try to become a pilot with the United States Air Force." Well, Lasorda said, "But I thought your injury made that impossible." And Bobby said, "Yeah, but something you said tonight really inspired me. You said, because God delays doesn't mean God denies. And I'm going to move forward." We're working our way through the story of Joseph here in the book of Genesis. And in the process of learning about the person of God, we're seeing how God works at times. And as we come to Genesis chapter 40, we find Joseph in one of those places of delay. He's in prison in Genesis chapter 40. He's been thrown in prison because he was falsely accused, and because he's a Hebrew slave, he virtually has no rights. Interestingly enough, he's thrown into the king's prison, not just to the regular prison, but he's there in prison. And echoing in our minds is this reminder that we don't know how Joseph may have connected with this, but the Bible tells us back in verse 21 of chapter 39, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. In verse 23, we read, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success and whatever he did. Joseph is in prison. And the Bible tells us the Lord is with him. And so he becomes what we would call today a trustee in prison. But remember that a trustee, while he or she may have a lot of freedom to go around the prison, they're still in prison. They're not getting out of prison. It's possible Joseph was a lifer because he had offended the captain of the king's guard. Now remember, much earlier in his life, Joseph had had some incredible dreams. Dreams of his whole family bowing down to him. Now, we don't know if Joseph had the full interpretation of these dreams. I mean, symbolically, anybody could hear those dreams and say, you know, what they did. We're not going to bow down to you. And so Joseph has those dreams in the back of his mind. Nothing like those dreams is coming true. And he's in prison. And he's waiting. It may be that right now for some of us, there are some significant things that we think God might be doing in our lives, but they've not been resolved. They've not been worked through. God says, watch, wait, see what I do. And I'm going to tell you, waiting is hard. We live in a culture that was not made to wait. We have direct deposit. Most of us don't have to go to the bank anymore. Just it gets direct deposit, our checks directly deposited. We pay bills online. If we need some cash, we can just drive up to an ATM machine and get the cash we want. We have fast food. We don't even have to wait in line anymore to put our money into the tollway because we've got iPass. We just zip right through. We don't wait. In fact, a couple years ago, Charlene and I celebrated our wedding anniversary, and we went downtown Chicago, and it was the weekend that they opened the brand new, reconditioned, rebuilt Navy Pier Ferris wheel. I'm not a Ferris wheel fan, but my wife is, so we got tickets. And then since it was our anniversary, I splurged, and I went ahead and got the no-wait ticket. And I'm going to tell you, we walked onto Navy Pier, and the line was everywhere, and we walked right up, handed the guy our ticket, walked in, the thing stopped, boom, we got on. No waiting, no muss, no fuss. I said, this is the way to go. We don't wait. We self-check at the grocery store. And in fact, if we go to the grocery store and there's a line at the self-check, we get frustrated. And if we go to the express lane, because Jewel took out the self-check, we're still frustrated if we have to wait. We order online and then go pick it up at the store. But Joseph is in prison, and prison is a place to wait. And for Joseph, prison was a place where his faith was tested. You see, the first thing I learn about waiting is waiting tests our faith. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. How did he know? How did Joseph know that God was with him? Did he have a sense? I don't know. But God wants us to believe what Joseph believed, that he was there, that he hadn't abandoned him. And when you are waiting, and when life isn't happening at the pace that you and I want it to happen, we need to remember God hasn't abandoned us. God will cause us to wait, and in that waiting, he will allow us to be tested. But he is the God who has said repeatedly, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He does not abandon you. In some way, God was fully there. And the only way Joseph could sense that was he began to get the favor of the warden, and he began to have some freedom within the prison. Some of you have waited. Some of you waited for God to give you direction. Some of you waited for a child to come back to the Lord. Some of you waited for an opportunity to share Christ with a friend. And you've waited, and you may still be waiting. And remember that in the waiting, God is there. And in the waiting, God is shaping you. In the waiting, God is preparing you. God does not forget you. And when you fail the test and you move forward and you run ahead of God, and you will, and you have, and I will, and I have, God will wait, and then he'll retest you again. And then when you pass the test, and you have, and you will, and you'll pass a test and you'll wait and you'll see God work and he'll go, good, now let's move to the advanced test. And he'll test you again. So what did Joseph do while waiting? He did his best. He served. You see, waiting, I think, is best done through serving. You know, Isaiah would write, those who wait on the Lord will rise up like eagle's wings. They will soar. They will run and not grow weary. When you wait on the Lord, it doesn't mean you sit back and relax and do nothing. Waiting on the Lord is always an active thing. Henry Blackaby said it. He said, when God gives you something to do, obey God's last command until he gives you something new. Waiting is best done through serving. So Joseph serves. He does his job well. God gives him favor. You say, well, why? Why did God give Joseph favor? Was that because he came to prison with this really good resume? You know, he'd been in Potiphar's house and he had managed it and everything had done well? Absolutely not. God was with him and God gave him success because God did it. It wasn't based on what Joseph did. Nobody looks at your resume in prison. Nobody cares. Is God with you today? You see, we only answer that question yes if we've fully come to God on his terms. If we've come to the point where we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and we've placed our faith in him, then we know God's with us. We're promised that through the Word of God. Is God with you today? Is God making you wait today? Is he reminding you today that there's nothing you face completely alone? He's there. He's there when it hurts. He's there when you're full of joy. He's there in each situation. God uses a time of waiting to develop your character. God uses a time of waiting to shape you and to mold you. God uses a time of waiting to prepare you. Here's a third thing I learned about waiting. Waiting not only tests my faith, waiting is best done when I'm serving, but waiting increases my dependence upon God. Joseph learned this in a very interesting way. Verse 1 of chapter 40 says, sometime later. We don't know how long. What we will know in this passage is that from the time that Joseph got thrown into that cistern and eventually sold into slavery, to the time that he becomes second in all of Egypt is 13 years. So we don't know how long he was in prison. We're just told it was sometime later. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. The cupbearer is the most trusted servant in the king's cadre. The cupbearer is the one who makes sure that the king doesn't get poisoned. You better trust the person who's bringing your food to not kind of put a little something in it that's not going to help you live beyond the first two or three bites. And the cupbearer was that person. You know, later on in Scripture, you'll find that Nehemiah was a cupbearer. And the cupbearer had the king listen to the cupbearer. The king confided in the cupbearer. Now, the baker is as important because as the baker who bakes the goods, who bakes the things the kings eat, he still has to trust him. But the baker just bakes it, gives it to the cupbearer, and the cupbearer serves it. And somehow Pharaoh had gotten upset with these two guys, and he threw them both in prison. And so there, they're in the same prison where Joseph is confined. And so what's the captain of the guard do? He assigns Joseph to take care of these two officials. Remember when you read the story of Joseph that God is always there orchestrating things to bring about his purposes. And can I tell you, God is orchestrating things in your life to bring about his purposes. After they'd been in custody for some time, we don't have a time frame, it's some time, each of them had dreams. And the next morning, Joseph comes to them and he can tell that they're dejected. We're in verse 7. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were in the custody with him in his master's house. Why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Do not interpretations belong to God? We don't know when Joseph decided or sensed that he could interpret dreams. But notice Joseph's theology again. We saw it last week. Shall I sin against God by doing this wicked thing? Now Joseph said, interpretations belong to God. Give me your dream. Joseph had a relationship with God that was active while he was still in prison. So they tell him their dreams. The cupbearer tells him a dream. He said, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I squeezed them into the Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand. And Joseph said, this is what it means. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Now the chief baker's watching all this, and he's going, hey, that sounds good. So he tells him his dream, because Joseph gave the other guy a favorable interpretation. So he said, I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Oh, thank you very much, Joseph. Now, the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he impaled the chief baker, as Joseph had said, to them in his interpretation. Look at verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Two dreams, and Joseph interprets the dreams. Everything happens exactly the way he says it. And he says to the cupbearer, please remember me. And what happens? He goes out and he goes into his life and he forgets, and Joseph waits. People, even people for whom you've done great favors, will let you down. People who are closest to you will let you down. The people for whom you've stuck out your neck will let you down. And on top of it all, you and I will make foolish decisions, and we will make mistakes, and we will let others down, and we will let ourselves down. Who can you count on? You can count on God. You can lean on Him. But sometimes when you have to wait, it's hard to depend on God. And waiting reminds us that we're dependent. 2 full years passed. When you're waiting, 2 full days is hard, but 2 full years passed. So I was thinking about that. I was drawn to and I was reminded of something I had read a long time ago, and I went back and found it. Oswald Chambers has that devotional that he wrote years ago. It's actually pulled from some of his sermons and writings. He was a chaplain in the British Army. He served in Egypt. He actually died at about 47 years old of appendicitis because he would not allow himself to be operated on when soldiers needed a bed more than he did. He writes this: has God trusted you with a silence? A silence that is big with meaning, God's silences are his answers. His silence is a sign that he's bringing you into a marvelous understanding of himself. You will find that God has trusted you in the most intimate way possible with an absolute silence, not of despair, but of pleasure, because he saw that you could stand a bigger revelation. God trusted Joseph with his silence for 2 full years because God had a bigger revelation in mind. And God may be trusting you with his silence right now because he has something bigger in mind than what you can really handle right now. Maybe today you've been praying for someone and God has yet to answer. Keep praying. And consider the weight a blessing. God is trusting you with his silence. Maybe today you feel there's an amazing need in your life and God seems to be sitting on his hands. He's trusting you with his silence. You see, waiting allows for God's perfect timing. 2 full years passed. Pharaoh has a dream. And finally, the cupbearer goes, I shouldn't be eating, drinking all this grape juice. I'm not remembering anything. Oh, what? Because see, Pharaoh goes out and he calls his diviners, the people that kind of try to divine wisdom and read the tea leaves. He calls his magicians. Nobody can answer his dream. Nobody can interpret it for him. They throw all kinds of ideas out and that's not right. And finally, the cupbearer says, wait, there's this Hebrew. And back when you were displeased with me, please don't be displeased again, I like my head. Back when you were displeased with me and you threw me in prison, I had a dream and everything has happened exactly the way he said. And Pharaoh says, well, get him out here. So they clean Joseph up, they shave him, then they bring him forward. And Pharaoh says, chapter 41, verse 15, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. I find that so amazing. How often do I take credit for something God has done? I am learning, and it is a process. I am learning to stop and say, hey, God, help me come to this, or God, help me figure this out. You know, every now and then, and we joke about this in our family, somebody says something, and my wife makes it, I go, honey, you're a genius, you know. She is, but that's not the point. We need to learn to take credit, not for ourselves, but to say, God, thank you. Like Nancy mentioned, to have a notebook. Thank God for the stuff that he does. Give God credit. Joseph said, he didn't stand back and say, well, yeah, Pharaoh, can I call you Faye? I can figure this out. No, I can't do it. This is God, Pharaoh. This is what God does. You see, had Joseph gotten out of prison 2 years earlier, Pharaoh wouldn't have had a dream yet. Had Joseph gotten out of prison 2 years earlier, he would have still just been a Hebrew slave. Had Joseph gotten out of prison 2 years earlier, the timing would have been off. But God knows the timing. If you and I really believe God is with us, if we really believe God is sovereign and in control, if we really believe that God orchestrates the events of our lives, then we need to be people who will wait. In 1993, I was ready to move on from our home in Indiana. I had been passed over for a senior pastor position. I was upset, and I was ready to move on. And as Charlene and I talked, we just said, you know, it's not right. We stayed for 3 more years because God had something else in mind for us, and he brought us here. Had I pushed through and left in 1993, I wouldn't be here today. You'd have some other guy who wouldn't be half as good. You, but this was what God had. Wait for his timing. And here's the final point. Waiting prepares me to give greater honor to God. When Joseph has the opportunity, he gives the credit to God. When you and I are in a position of humility, when we understand that it's not our wits, but God's work that's brought us any success, then we have that opportunity to point others to God. Don't for a minute think that this was easy. Don't for a minute think that Joseph was some kind of Pollyanna who saw a silver cloud. Joseph waited, and when he had the opportunity, he made sure God was given the credit. So Pharaoh gives Joseph his dream. And he actually has two dreams. And the first time he says there's out of the river came seven cows. They were fat and they were sleek and they grazed among the reeds. And then seven other cows that were scrawny and very ugly. He said, I've never seen such ugly cows in Egypt. And the lean cows ate the seven cows. But even after they ate them, you couldn't even tell that they had done it. And then he saw a similar dream, seven heads of grain, full and good and growing, and seven other really withered and thin ones sprouted up, and they swallowed up the good grain. Joseph says, God's given you two dreams of the same dream because God has determined this is what is going to happen. And he tells him the next 7 years are going to be 7 years of bumper crops, 7 years of the best, 7 years of things just being great. But following that are going to be 7 years of famine. So you need to set up a program. You need to set up this system in which you are putting aside grain and setting up and getting ready so that you are prepared for the seven lean years. In fact, Joseph says the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh, verse 32 of chapter 41, in two forms, is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And he says, now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Would you notice something about Joseph? Joseph never promotes himself. Never. When God is working, you and I don't have to sell ourselves to anyone. He will move, he will direct, he will guide. He says, let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance and collect all the food and held in reserve. Pharaoh says, this is a really good plan. Do we have anybody like this? Joseph's not down there going, me, 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 pick me, pick me, pick me. He's not doing that. Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh, Joseph. I mean, that's it. There's nobody else. Nobody's between Pharaoh and Joseph. Not because Joseph planned for it and then worked his plan, not because he polished his resume, simply because he waited. So Pharaoh puts Joseph in order. And then, as it were, he has him naturalized as a citizen because he gives him an Egyptian name, Zephaniah-Paneah. It's a name that probably means God speaks and lives, according to a scholar, Dr. Tom Constable. Isn't that interesting? When he chooses an Egyptian name for Joseph, it's a name that says God speaks and lives. Joseph is given a wife from a priest family. He's married into the elite of Egypt. And the Bible tells us that from the time he was sold into slavery until now was 13 years. You see, because God delays, God doesn't mean God denies. So, come back to Bobby. Bobby began the process of an appeal of medical clearance through the Air Force. And that takes time, and there's a window of opportunity. And within the last few months of that window of opportunity, he was finally granted medical clearance and admitted to flight school. He earned the rank of captain, which is the rank of a pilot. On June 2nd, 1995, the United States was involved in the conflict in Bosnia, the Bosnian War. Some of you remember that. Others of you look it up on Google. It's in the history books. There was a time when the United States kind of held our collective breath because Captain Scott O'Grady's F-16 was shot down, and he was in the Bosnian woods. O'Grady survived 6 days in the Bosnian woods until a rescue team could get there and evacuate him. When Captain O'Grady's plane was shot down, his wingman stayed in the area and circled and radioed back coordinates to help the rescuers more easily triangulate his position. And he stayed there and did that until he was almost out of fuel and then headed back to base. That pilot was Captain Robert Bobby Wright. Because God delays doesn't mean that God denies. You see, waiting is going to test your faith. Waiting is going to be best done, though, while you actively serve. Waiting will increase your dependence upon God. Waiting allows for God's perfect timing, and waiting prepares you and me to give greater honor to God. Joseph's story is not about Joseph just being this really great guy. It's about a person who depended on God every step of the way, even when life made no sense at all. And that's a lesson for each of us. Would you stand as we pray? Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you again for real life people like Joseph that we can learn from, who don't just give us a good character of who a person is, but more importantly, we learn from Joseph that he depended on you. We learn from Joseph that he gave credit to you. We learn from Joseph that he waited on you. Lord, you know what's going on in each of our lives. You know the joys and the struggles. We've shared a little bit of them today during our time of sharing. You know those of us who are waiting and feel like we've been in a holding pattern forever. And you know those of us who are waiting and chomping at the bit. Lord, help us today to learn to wait on you, to trust you, and to believe that you are there, and to allow you to orchestrate our lives as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.